Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
This morning with Morgan Godfrey. Morena, Morgan, how are you?
Morena, Rachel, I'm not too bad. How are you holding up?
Yeah, not too bad either. It is a weird old time at the moment. I think it was David Farrier had a very good Twitter poll. It was like, is this a unprecedented time, a weird time, or a strange time? And you had to vote for one option only.
Yeah. Exactly. All three and more.
Hey, of course, we have gone into level four today. Also, we are in a state of emergency. I just thought we'd start by maybe breaking down what a state of emergency actually means when the government rolls that out, because it changes some of their powers a little bit, doesn't it, Morgan?
Yeah, for the most part, it just clears the way for the government to do what it was always planning to do anyway. And it also increases some of the powers of state agents, like powers of the police to break up, you know, big gatherings. So if there are more than two or three people together on the street, you know, the cops can come and break that up without needing to, you know, refer to some of the normal legislation. So that's the point of the state of emergency. But yeah, the big message is still the lockdown. I think there were, in like this uniquely New Zealand way, public servants yesterday were saying, yes, it's a state of emergency. We don't really want to use these powers.
No.
We just want you to observe the lockdown.
Yeah. And that is kind of the core message at the moment, isn't it? Stay at home, wash your hands, keep your distance when you have to go to the supermarket, and just keep reiterating those things because, you know, it is the big whacker that we are all in together at the moment. I want to talk a little bit, though, maybe future focused, because of course this is us for at least the next 4 weeks. What are you hoping to see once we get rid of this virus, and I'm talking far, far future here? What would you like to see about some of the ways our society, I guess, adapts after this? Because we're seeing huge unprecedented changes in the way that our sort of structure is within society at the moment. What are some things you'd like to see change, maybe? Massive question, just to throw it straight in there.
No, I love it. Huge question. Socialism. That's what I'm hoping for out of this. And to a certain degree, I think it's probably the only solution, given that we're in lockdown, given that a recession is almost certain to happen, because, you know, we're on lockdown for 4 weeks. Production largely stops. Exchange largely stops. That means the recession is almost certain. And the only response to that is things like a UBI, things like the mortgage payment holiday, things like not even a rent freeze, because that implies that we'll have to start paying again.
Yes.
Why doesn't Grant Robertson do a rent cancellation? That would be very nice. And probably overdue, because when you look at something like the wage subsidy that goes to businesses and sole traders and other contractors, that's a very good thing. That will keep some people employed. But at the same time, it's not a subsidy for workers per se, it's a subsidy for businesses. So the people who really profit out of the wage subsidy are businesses, not necessarily the workers. When that money does find its way to workers, often it's going to find its way back to the landlord, who more often than not is the boss anyway. So I think a lot of, or not a lot, that's probably unfair, but some of the measures the government's taking right now are probably mistargeted. In that economic sense.
So you'd like to see perhaps some more targeted responses for workers specifically, so money going straight to the workers rather than through other frameworks, I guess.
Yeah, I would. I'd like to see a universal basic income, to be quite honest. Not a targeted approach, but a universal one, so that everyone gets it, really. Just like I guess, what's the best analogy, super for all New Zealanders. That way there's no one clipping the ticket. That way everyone gets the same or similar amounts. It's easy to do. There's no big administrative burden. We don't have to send, like, WINS bureaucrats into work to figure out who's eligible and who's not. It seems like, you know, the best solution is we come out of this 4 weeks, hopefully, and return to an economy and a society that's probably been massively transformed.
I'm quite interested if we go back to this idea of rent freezes versus rent cancellations. This has been something that has been talked about a lot by the media, and I've also seen a lot of chatter about this on social media as well. How likely do you think it is that we're going to see something from the government that is in the way of a rent freeze or a rent cancellation?
I think it's inevitable, to be honest. I think the pressure will become too much on the government, because the pressure on families and the pressure on individuals who are strugging to pay their rent, will at one point or another, it's going to come to a head. People are losing their jobs. There is inadequate support. The benefit increase was very, very good. But for a lot of people, that is still insufficient. So I think sooner or later, the government is going to have to do something about it, whether they want to or not. Honestly, I think they'd do a rent freeze rather than a rent cancellation. The trouble there is, of course, as you would have seen, is that, you know, with a rent freeze, it implies that at one point or another, you're going to have to pay it back.
So that would be paying back the period that you weren't paying for. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's what it would imply. So a rent cancellation would be the preferable option, even if it was for a temporary period of a few months, because if landlords are getting a mortgage payment holiday, then they're getting rent essentially as pure profit. So I think there's a base unfairness there between renters and landlords. If one group of people are getting massive support, and yet for the other group of people, life continues as normal, when we know that the outside world isn't normal at all.
And we have a very high percentage of renting population in New Zealand as well. And we also have one of the highest, I think, percentages of people's wages going towards rent in the OECD. So we've got some, even beyond this COVID situation, we have some big renting questions going on there too. Are you thinking that, I mean, going back to that kind of like future focus as well, are you thinking that this might change how we approach renting, for example, in New Zealand, and value that and think about the way, I guess, that renting affects our population?
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. I think one thing that the coronavirus scare across the world, or the pandemic, has exposed is just how fragile every single one of our systems are, from the systems that we think are quite physical and concrete, like supply chains. Even the most mild panic buying has disrupted supply chains in this country and almost totally destroyed them in other countries. And the concept even of things like money, you know, very abstract concepts, what the pandemic has exposed is just how fragile and how human-created those systems are. And I think we're going to have, people will have the same, epiphany is the wrong word, but their perspective will change on renting as well, and the base unfairness in that relationship, where, you know, a landlord owns a home for no other reason than luck or circumstance or whatever it is, and yet profits off it, not from hard work, but from the simple act of having their name and signature on a deed. So I think this will, I think people will have 28 days to think about that base unfairness, and after those 28 days, when, you know, touch wood, fingers crossed, we're moderately in the clear, I think a lot of people are going to start getting very political.
Yeah, well, that will be really interesting to see. I just wanted to ask you before we let you go, what are you going to be doing with some of your time now, Morgan?
Tweeting it madly on social media 24/7.
Someone has texted in, can we ask Morgan why his tweets are all in caps lock at the moment? I think it's self-explanatory.
Exactly. There's a pandemic, my God. I actually started tweeting in capitals weeks before the lockdown, just as practice.
Yeah, so just to practice.
Ready.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, it's lovely to chat to you this morning, Morgan. Kia kaha and take care. We'll talk to you again in the near future.
Thanks, Rachel. You take care as well.
Cheers.
See you.
Bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.